children's advocacy group Kids Count releases its annual fact book today. It's a large tome pulling together all kinds of important information about the well-being of Rhode Island's children. Rhode Island Kids Count Executive Director Elizabeth Burke Bryant stopped by our studio to talk about some of the highlights in this year's report. Elizabeth Burke Bryant, good to see you.
Good to see you, Elizabeth.
So every year you roll out this fact book with information that ranges from school performance to health indicators. What jumps out at you as the headline this year?
Well, we have an enormous amount of information to put forth to the community, and that's our job, to say what is the profile and real true picture of Rhode Island's 247,000 children. That's 247,000 children. That's a good takeaway. But I think what jumps out at me this year is that we have done tremendous things in children's health care in our state. We are seeing real outcomes as a result of our investments in children's health. We've been on that issue for almost 20 years now through the Right Care program, and everything from our infant indicators of infant health all the way through children's health all the way through the age of 18, we're showing great progress. So that jumps out as a real headline. I'd say that we know that children really depend on great things going with their education as well as their health. And while we have seen some progress in a few education areas, overall we'd like to see more.
Let's talk about education, because that's another place where we're getting some pretty big investments from the federal government, a $75 million Race to the Top grant, among other efforts, to improve education levels and improve public schools in Rhode Island. What, if any, evidence do you see that these efforts are bearing fruit?
When you look at high school graduation rate, for example, very flat from last year to this year. In both years, about 77% of our students are graduating with the on-time graduation rate of 77% for those students who go in as ninth graders and leave 4 years later. So that's really remained flat, as has fourth grade reading. I was really looking at the data with regard to overall statewide fourth grade reading. We are showing for that indicator that in 2011, there was 77% proficiency for all around the state and 65% for our core cities. Remained almost exactly the same, 77% of fourth graders proficient statewide in reading, 66% in the core cities. I looked at math, again, the same kind of thing. But where we are seeing some signs of hope is that when we look across grade ranges at both reading and math scores, we are seeing that proficiency rates are highest for fourth grade, lower for eighth grade, and then even lower for 11th. So I guess the ray of hope there is that as we think about education reforms getting into place, they're starting to show some signs of results with the kids that have been coming in more recently to the school system, less so for kids who've been in the school system for many years. Our economy can't wait for a gradual kind of change, the kind of change that we've been seeing. And I think that, you know, leaders across the state, including teachers, educational leaders in our state department, our commissioner, our governor, our new board of ed chair, they get that. They get that it can't be a slow process of using the next 20 years to see real change. It has to be faster, because we really need the kind of well-educated young people that our state needs to prosper and to turn around its economy.
And speaking of the economy, just last week, a homeless advocacy organization released a new census showing a 10% increase in the homeless population in Rhode Island, and children were especially hard hit. Do you see other evidence of the continuing impact of the recession here in the Ocean State?
That one is tragic. I mean, to think about any of our Rhode Island children homeless is just unacceptable. And our teachers tell us that they know of students that the family doesn't have a home. They may spend the night in a van or the night in a motel or scrape together a way to be able to double up with another family. How can those children learn? It is the biggest children's issue. The most tragic one is the thought of homeless children. So all of the efforts to try to increase access to affordable housing assistance for families that are very hard hit in this recession are absolutely a children's issue. To answer your question, Elizabeth, about another sign is that we have seen a very large expansion in the number of children that are being served by the food stamp program. In fact, an 81% increase in children receiving food stamps since a few years ago. And so that's a very key indicator. At the same time, we've had this recession, and around 20% of our children living in poverty. we've had a reduction or in a flattening of children and families on cash assistance, which is Rhode Island Works, because of time limits and other barriers to that program. So I think one of the reasons we've seen this spike in food stamps is that for many families living below the poverty line, that is really the only assistance program they can qualify for.
Isn't it also, though, because of ramped up efforts to sign families up for that program?
Yes, absolutely. There has been really tremendous outreach, and it's working. And that is really great news because Rhode Island is taking advantage of a federal program that is a really critical nutrition program for children and their families.
Now, you mentioned federal funding, and as federal sequestration cuts begin to affect social service organizations like Head Start, I'm wondering, Elizabeth Burke-Bryan, what are you most concerned about?
I am extremely concerned about the fact that even on our best days, we only serve about 48% of eligible children in the Head Start program. That's the federal early childhood program for 3 and 4-year-old children. I have gotten recent information that according to the data coming from the feds about sequestration, Rhode Island stands to lose at least 140 to 200 Head Start and early Head Start slots. And that will mean an immediate reduction in the classrooms, in the staff that teach in the Head Start classrooms, classrooms that are already up and running. So we are talking to our state partners to say the last thing we should be doing is removing Head Start classrooms that are putting children on the path to school readiness and success in school.
Any other concerns about sequestration?
Well, sequestration has an impact. We've really looked across programs. It will have an impact on the WIC program. It will have an impact on affordable housing subsidies, which we've just talked about, are a way to prevent tragic cases of homeless children. Many of our community action agencies will be hard hit by some of the sequestration cuts. So across the board, from housing to emergency aid to Head Start and early Head Start, it's really going to have an impact on kids.
Well, the Rhode Island Kids Count Fact Book comes out today. Executive Director Elizabeth Burke-Bryant, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.